This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Global manufacturing is expanding. From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio, who's on assignment. For the first time in months, global manufacturing expanded this past July. The JP Morgan Global Manufacturing Index rose to 50.3. That is a six-month high, but more importantly, it's over 50, which means the sector is growing. We also got the U.S. number from the Institute of Supply Management. That was even better at 54.2, a 15-month high. Let's bring in Jeffrey Cleveland, chief economist at Payden & Riegel. Hi, Jeffrey. Good morning.
Good morning.
So two indications of manufacturing, one global, one domestic, both showing expansion. What do you take from that?
Well, it's a good sign overall. The global manufacturing data was quite weak in the month of April. The global manufacturing PMI fell to 39.6. Anything below 50 is a sign that manufacturing is shrinking. But last month, it climbed all the way back to 50.3. So I think this is a good sign that global activity is reopening as economies reopen. The U.S. data on manufacturing also popped above 50, hitting 54.2, highest in 16 months. I don't think this is a sign of a robust rebound, but it is a sign that things are reopening.
Well, I was just about to ask, I mean, given this resurgence of the virus, do you think that we could be in store for a return to contraction in manufacturing?
I don't think we're going to go back to the lows in these indicators that we saw in the March and April period. That's just because in March and April, we had a global synchronized shutdown. The entire world, or much of it at least, 90% as measured by GDP, was shut down during that period. I don't think we're going back to that. We could have localized shutdowns that could affect the data, but not going back to the March-April lows.
Jeffrey Cleveland, chief economist at Payden & Riegel, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
All right, let's do the numbers. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is down 24 points. That is a tenth of a percent. The S&P 500 is down less than a tenth of a percent, almost nothing. The NASDAQ is up less than a tenth of a percent. The Federal Aviation Administration has set out changes that Boeing needs to make to its 737 MAX plane in order for it to be, quote, safe to operate. Two flights crashed, you'll remember, in Ethiopia and Indonesia last year, killing 346 people, resulting in the worldwide grounding of the 737. The cause was a single faulty sensor that made the plane's nose automatically point downward. Pilots were unable to overpower it. So among the FAA's requirements, more redundancy to prevent a single misfiring sensor from sending a plane into a nosedive, making that automated system less powerful so pilots have more control, and more pilot training. Boeing stock is currently up 1.6%.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know.
Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? Don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
The president seems to be down with Microsoft or another U.S. company buying TikTok. TikTok, the video sharing app developed by a Chinese company. But there is a condition. The U.S. government would get a quote-unquote substantial cut out of the deal. That, as Marketplace's Scott Tong reports, has legal scholars just a little bit confused.
The United States should get a very large percentage of that price. The president used those words yesterday to suggest the Treasury Department earn a fee for brokering a deal for Microsoft to buy TikTok. He called this key money. That's a real estate term for a special payment a tenant gives to a landlord to seal a lease. This is common in commercial real estate, often illegal for residential landlords. As for the business of the country?
No, this can't be done.
Bobby Chesney teaches law at the University of Texas.
There is a statutory provision that allows the Committee on Foreign Investment in the United States to recoup a relatively modest amount, but the maximum is $300,000. It's not something the president or anyone else gets to just demand as a cost of doing business.
He's referring to the federal committee raising national security questions about TikTok. Now, if the Treasury Department were allowed a cut to grease the wheels of a deal, it'd be hefty. TikTok's investors value it at $50 billion. The president said any sale to any U.S. company has to happen by September 15th. In Washington, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
5.4 million Americans not only lost their employer-sponsored health plans in the pandemic, but they also did not or could not get alternate health insurance. That is a risk in and of itself, but it may result in job loss in the healthcare industry. That is the warning from nonpartisan nonprofit Families USA, which is releasing research on this today. Stan Dorn is a senior fellow at Families USA. Good morning.
Good morning.
U.S. GDP declined 9.5% in 3 months, and one would have thought perhaps the bulk of that was in, restaurants or transportation. But according to your research, it was actually healthcare.
Yes, we were surprised to find that. It's 29% of the entire staggering drop in GDP the second quarter was due to reduced revenue for healthcare providers. By contrast, in the entire restaurant industry, food services, accommodations, hotels industry, 17% of GDP drop was responsible in that sector. There was no other engine driving the downturn as much as healthcare.
Which is kind of surprising because we hear about the surges in the need for emergency care as coronavirus, peaks in different parts of the country. But that's not what we're talking about, is it? Who are the folks who are losing their jobs here?
Well, so far we've lost more than a million jobs in the healthcare sector, which is more than any other sector but the restaurant industry. But even so, the amount of money involved is greater by far than the restaurant industry. So, we're talking about hospitals, doctor's offices, clinics having to lay off staff, nurses, janitors. One out of every seven workers in the United States is employed by the healthcare industry. So when the healthcare industry sneezes, the whole economy catches a cold.
What you're describing is what the healthcare industry is suffering from, just the shutdown. What are you predicting will happen because people have lost their health insurance coverage?
Yes, what we've seen so far is just the prelude to what we're afraid may happen soon. In the past, less revenue for healthcare providers has translated into a staggering drop in GDP. What we found is that health insurance losses projected to result from an economy that remains stable at May levels will cost another 1.5 million to 2.5 million jobs. As hospitals, doctor's offices, clinics lose money, they have to lay off staff, and that hurts the surrounding local economies as well.
But, couldn't people who lose their job-sponsored health insurance get Medicaid or something under the Affordable Care Act?
Sure, and many will, but not all will. Lots of folks who qualify for help won't sign up. That's happened before. We know it's going to happen again. There are two changes. One, fewer patients will have insurance of any kind. And two, patients who do have insurance will have it in a form that pays less to healthcare providers. Medicaid, for example, pays a lot less than private health insurance.
Stan Dorn is a senior fellow at Families USA. Thank you so much, Stan.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.